Hi FM, 101.9 megahertz of life.
David Abramson, psychologist in private practice. And today we want to talk about the ability to put away some of our stresses and our difficulties. And this came up yesterday in conversation. I was telling David, I was telling our listeners about a conversation I had with my daughter who hasn't been well. She's had sinuses and all sorts of things for the last couple of weeks. And she's been to doctors and we've had blood tests and she's had two COVID tests, the whole thing. And on Saturday morning, on Shabbat morning, I woke her up. It was about 9 o'clock. We were going to go for a walk. I said, "Do you want to come?" She said, "No, she doesn't feel well." And I said, "Okay. You have got until 12 o'clock. You've had 3 weeks of not feeling well. You've been to every doctor. You've had two COVID tests. You've had blood tests. You've been on medication. At 12, be as miserable and feel as sick as you need to feel until 12 o'clock. But because I now believe that you need to signal your body that it's time to take a move in the right direction and be positive. And at 12 o'clock, you're going to change your demeanor and make a deal with your body that at 8 o'clock tonight, you can come back to it and revisit it. And in fact, you have to come back and revisit it. Stick to the deal that you made with yourself. Don't shove it in a box and throw away the key, but put it in a box, right. But then take it out again later. But right now, you have to change your demeanor. And and it actually worked. And we spoke about it last night. And she did come back to it. And I think it's so important to do. Zanati and I learn, or anyone in studio learns, that when you walk in the door of the studio, no matter what stresses are raging outside, you have to leave it at the door. It's a very difficult lesson, but we have to, because it's our responsibility to. Truthfully, it changes the way we are as well. And when we leave studio, we can go back and revisit them, but often we actually feel kind of okay about revisiting them and can do it in a different way.
Right.
COVID has taken over every aspect of our lives. How do we deal with this? How do we find ways to deal with some of this anxiety?
Well, I think it's actually very natural for us to have a negativity bias, and this is really the idea that we tend to think about things in a very kind of in a negative way, you know, even when we have there's a terrible feedback. Can you hear it, Howard?
No, we can't hear anything. Can you hear us?
I can hear myself.
No. Okay. You actually, the line is incredibly clear on our side. So just ignore yourself, David. That's what we have to go through listening to you. I'm just saying.
I just can hear myself talking. So
that's the worst, actually.
Here it is. Yeah, okay. Let's try again. Really what I'm talking about is negativity bias. And when we, you know, I think it's a natural thing that we do. And really it is how we tend to, just to protect ourselves, if we're feeling something which is negative and something which is neutral or positive, we tend to feel the negativity more. And so we do have a tendency to negativity bias. But you know, just as importantly, we also have neuroplasticity, where we can with training really change and rewire the way our brains experience things like anxiety and depression. And obviously, if it's, you know, if they're completely overwhelming, then, you know, that's another, you know, story when someone is completely clinically depressed or anxious where they really can't function. But I think for me, we do have this ability, this neuroplasticity, and we can train ourselves, and it is a training, and it does take time to develop, to actually do exactly what you did with your daughter. And I think for me, we can actually use, you know, the triggers of anxiety and, you know, to actually manage our anxiety. And what I mean by that is when we start to feel anxious, that's the signal to actually then put, things in place, you know, that we can do to help us, you know, deal with the situation. So absolutely it's possible. And the things we can do, there are so many things. And I used to be very skeptical of, mindfulness. You know, I used to roll my eyes at other psychologists and, you know, think, oh, what is this mindfulness thing? But really one of the most amazing, you know, things is that they've done some, again, research. I'm really enjoying the fact that psychology has become more scientific and they've shown that in an amazing study that people who, you know, if you're thinking about the past or the future, and even if you're thinking about the past and the future in a positive way, you are never as happy as someone who is in the present, who is living in the present, which is absolutely, I thought, quite fascinating. So I think for me, one of the things that we can do, even though, you know, it's a hard time, is to actually control what we can control. And that is to live in the present in a mindful way. And there's so many ways we can do that, to actually live in the present and to, because, you know, we often hear about, and, you know, us wishing this COVID time away, you know, I wish this was over. I can't wait for this. And of course that's, you know, there's a reality to that, but we're not going to get this time back. And, you know, it's not like we're going to get a discount, you know, because we, you know, this time during COVID has been a bad time, that we're going to get a return on it. And it's really about how do we use it in a, how do we look for the positives, even though there are, of course, there's many negatives and there's a lot of difficulties, but how do we look to the positives so that we can actually use this time in a productive way and not just kind of wish it away? And I think that's a very, very kind of important place to start.
So how do we do that? How do we change that? You know, right. we are overwhelmed every day by the monotony of it, the not going out much, not seeing our friends, not going out for meals. It's very hard to do.
It is very hard. But I think the thing is to think about what have we gained? And yes, there's a lot. People under a lot of stress, people, be it financial, emotional. But I think for me, what have we gained? And I think one of the things is to, as I say, to be mindful of what we have. And I think if you think about it, one of the things which is so precious that we often speak about is time. Everyone complains, or most people complain about, I just don't have enough time. And one of the things that I think Corona has given us is the gift of time. You know, so, you know, where we're able to actually sit and contemplate, do things that we weren't able to do before. I think that's very important, to appreciate the gift of time. And the other thing is also how it is to look around. You know, we look at the news and we look at things. And again, as we said, you know, we kind of have this negativity bias. How often do we go and Google, you know, acts of humanity or, acts of kindness? And it's amazing. It's amazing to see what people are doing for other people in the world. So again, looking for the good, and there is definitely good out there. The other thing that I think is so important right now is to practice self-care, you know, and I think we just kind of talk about self-care in a very, slapdash manner where we don't think it's a priority. And I think those kind of things like, you know, like taking the time, and I know people are going to roll their eyes because it's the usual, you know, just to go for a walk, a little bit of exercise, a little bit of, and to sleep a little bit longer, you know, make sure you're getting enough sleep. These are the kind of things that are so important. And we've often spoken about, you know, connecting with your friends and family. It's not ideal right now to, you know, the situation. We can't hug and be close, but we certainly can still connect. You know, I think for me, social distancing doesn't mean social isolation. So it's so important that we are connecting with our, you know, with friends and family in the appropriate way. So I do think for me, you know, there are positives and we need to look for them. And I think we could find them. And I think we need to be very careful to let our minds drift to regrets of the past or the what ifs, you know, the anxiety of the future. It is easy to go there, but it's so important to try to train ourselves as much as possible when we do feel those feelings to bring ourselves back to the present, because again, that's the only thing we can control. And right now there, you know, again, there's a lot of things that we don't know that are unpredictable. So that causes anxiety for us. So I think for me, it's important that we focus on what we can control. And that brings us a sense of predictability to our lives. So like, for example, you know, planning, again, we've spoken about this, planning your day a little bit, putting things that are predictable into your life, into your day to create pockets of control. These kind of small things make a huge, huge difference. So it's really about, I would say, about really kind of being aware of those negative thoughts.
And taking active steps to change your mindset.
And I think steps in bits and pieces, because I think the danger in all of us that we want to tackle this whole thing all at one go.
Right. Yeah.
So if you just do one small thing every day that will kind of lead you to a place where you're comfortable and where you can pack it away. I think for me, that's the lesson.
It's interesting. Melinda says as well, sorry, David. Melinda says as well, lots of pressure to make this time count. That's giving me anxiety. And I hear that. I do hear that. I feel a bit of that. You know, I wanted to do more in terms of studying and I wanted to, and I don't have the time. I'm finding myself I oscillate between being so busy, so much to do, and then also exhausted some of the time because I'm not stopping.
But that's, I think that's such a good point. And I would say that's important as far as self-care is concerned, is to just, you know, look after yourself, and not to put pressure on yourself to do things perfectly. You know, you aim for good enough, we always say in psychology, you know, and good enough isn't doing things terribly. It's doing things pretty well, but it doesn't have to be perfect. And absolutely, you know, we're not aiming for the best possible lockdown in the world, you know, so we're not going to come out playing an instrument, and speaking another language. And that's okay. You know, so I think for me, the pressure, that's the kind of thing that we're talking about, is taking the pressure off yourself to do things which may seem pressurizing. Be kind to yourself. So I think that's also very important. You know, an interesting thing is, you know,
Joining us on the line, David Abramson. He's a psychologist in private practice. And we are talking about finding ways to actually be okay and be positive during a very, what is a difficult time. And we just have to acknowledge it. David, the approach that I took, you know, my wife is quite skeptical about it because she always worries about sort of denial and putting things away. But the caveat to that is, and I keep saying that to my daughter, is that you've got to be true to yourself and bring it back. But you also have to learn to put things away for a while, because as we get older, as she gets older, the adult stresses that we all experience are tremendous. And if we are going to allow them to totally occupy every part of our brain, it's almost becomes very difficult to function. As an observant Jew, we learn that Shabbat is a great time for that. We don't talk about work. We don't worry about, talk about money. We keep things, we keep social media, the electronic, everything completely away. And that 25 hours restores us to the point that we can deal with these things again. Is it dangerous what I'm suggesting?
No, I think, Howard, I think there's a very big difference between repressing one's feelings and not wanting and kind of not wanting to deal with them ever, and really creating pockets of control and pockets of relief. And I think that's exactly, again, I can't believe, you know, I'm looking at myself this morning going, wow, I can't believe you're talking so positively about mindfulness, because for so long I was so negative about it.
But
it's absolutely true, is that if you, you know, again, repress things, of course it's going to come up in relationships in a negative way, or even in your body where you're going to start feeling it in a physical way, we often see. But absolutely, to create pockets of control, to create situations where you're actually saying, yes, I am feeling anxious. You know, I'm not saying that this coronavirus, for example, does not exist. It's here. It's very, very real. But how do I manage my anxiety? And part of that is exactly what you're saying is, and this is what they talk about in mindfulness. And that's why things like Shabbat is just incredible, because they talk about this very thing of, you know, waking up in the morning and starting slow. Not just going straight onto your phone you know, and getting into the news and watching, you know, and filling your brain with all this information, which causes anxiety for you. So I think, you know, a lot of people who are listening might say, listen, you know, we know all of this, but I think the difficulty is that people don't do it. And it is about being a bit more disciplined with yourself. It is actually about learning, which is ironic, to be kind to yourself, because we're not very kind to ourselves. We tend to do things which actually don't help us out very much. So of course the usual, like we say, the exercise and the eating well and the sleeping well, but really about just watching what we put into our brains and how we actually cause ourselves to actually feel so much more anxious than we really need to be. And it really does take a mindfulness kind of approach of, hang on a sec, you know, it's not about that I'm not going to read about COVID. I'm not going to read about the numbers that are going up and how many people, unfortunately have passed away, but it's that I don't have to read about it every single minute of the day. I can do it at certain times in the day, but I can also then read positive articles, as we said. Google, take that, be very intent and have intention of looking for good rather than, because I think for me, as we know, you know what sells newspapers and you know, kind of headlines that grab us are the negative ones. But look, make a mindful, attempt to actually go and look for something positive. And just to quickly add, you know, the one thing that I love doing, and is in the day, and I'm running out of it because he only does a certain amount of stand-up, is I love Michael McIntyre, the comedian. I love his sense of humor. And I know it sounds like, again, a small thing.
But it actually lifts your spirit, yeah.
It's unbelievable what music and humor can do for the human body. And again, as I say, you know, science is now catching up to, you know, psychology is catching up to science, or the other way around. But they show that, you know, a little bit of humor, laughter, is, and to listen to music, it's unbelievable how, what it does to the human psyche and how it releases like the cortisol.
Yes.
And,
but it was actually interesting. You know, we do have to go to news and we do have to sort of end this time together. But when I was researching my book, I found a study in Hong Kong, one of the Hong Kong universities, that took a group of people from an aged home. And what they did was they divided them into two groups. One group went for group therapy every week, and the other group they took to a comedy club. And what they found was that the group that went to the comedy club actually could reduce some of their medication, felt less alienation and isolation and disconnection. And they found that exactly that, just doing that, I mean, not to knock a psychologist, but was actually in that case was even better or more worthwhile than this group therapy that they were going on.
Well, I think that's really what we're saying today, is that there are things that we can do. There are really simple things that we can do. Look for positive information on the net. Reduce the amount of time that you spend, you know, with negative information. Do a little bit of exercise. It doesn't mean you have to train for the comrades. You know, sleep a little bit more. It doesn't mean you have to get exactly 10 hours. These are simple things that we don't do. But I think for me, if we make a conscious effort to, and especially now, to train ourselves and to be kind to ourselves and to help ourselves, it's amazing how these small things that we have available to us can make such a huge
Absolutely
difference.
Absolutely right. David Abramson there. Unfortunately, we do need to leave it. It is 8:32. Karen says, I need ideas for Shabbat. I'm on my own. She says, Howard, I love your book. It is my Shabbos book. I'm very, very pleased and flattered to hear that.